Everybody wants to know everything that is done by the NYDA. On my left-hand side, I have... you can introduce yourself, it's fine.
Good morning, members. My name is Maria Solomons. I'm standing in for Naliswa Nobatana, who's off ill today.
There at the back.
Right. Good morning, members. My name is Chumile Samson. I'm from I'm in PMG, which is Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning. My name is Batandwa. I'm also from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning. My name is Ando. I'm with the Parliamentary Monitoring Group as well.
There was one lady. Did she move out? Did she go out? Okay. I declare this meeting officially open. We can start. We have three apologies. The first apology is the apology for Naliswa Nobatana. She's been sick since from last week after our meeting. She went to the clinic and only to find that her BP was very high. So she's booked off sick. That's why the lady next to me is replacing her. And then we have another apology for Mam Kaula, who's been hospitalized from last week. She's still not well. And Mam Hlengwa, she has forwarded her apology. I think she's busy with the IFP. Not IFP, with the NHI public hearings, because she's also a member in the Portfolio Committee for Health. So today, honorable members, we are going to deal with the NYDA. You know, we are still busy with the advert for the NYDA. And so far, there's nothing new. What is new is that with the applications that we have received, we have now published all of them in the parliamentary website. And then what we have done for public comments, what we have extended the closing date, that the closing date for the public comments will be the 29th of February. Then after, our staff members will summarize all the CVs of the applicants. Then after summarizing all of them, due to high volume of work that the staff is going to do, we are not going to print a document. But what we are going to do is to provide a link for honorable members to be able to read it through the link. Because you can imagine, plus minus 700 applications, you know, printing those documents, it will be, I don't know, it will take how long for us to be able to read it. We'll be having maybe documents and documents and documents, because it's CVs, including the questionnaires. So it's a lot of documentation. So you are going to have a link where you are going to be able to access those summarized version of each and every candidate. And then the subcommittee is the one who will be doing with all those things. So anyway, the interviews will be later. I think the interviews and the shortlisting is something that will happen in the next term, in April, due to the volume of work that they are having. And I'm sure even yourselves, you were receiving calls that people were saying, we don't see our names on the website. It was due to the work of loading from the communications department. Sometimes ICT system for parliament was crashing or what. So it was a hell of a job. So, but now everyone's CV is there. Anybody else who still feels good, he doesn't see her or his CV, is free to phone us, whether you phone Nelisa or Kashifa or myself. People are free to call us so that you can go and verify. But we thought we have done our verification. Everybody else who have forwarded a CV to the NYDA email address, we have printed all of them. Anyone who have forwarded his or her CV to Nelson Obatana's email address for Parliament, we have printed all of them. Even those that were submitted, they've been captured. Even those that were sent to other members of the committee, especially those people who are staying in rural areas, we've already captured them. So anybody who still says his or her CV, even those that were posted, we have received them and we have uploaded them to the system of Parliament. So anyone else, any application that came after the closing date, we did not consider it because the closing date was clear. It was the 24th of January 2020. So the only amendment that we have made is with regards to the public comments that it will be the 29th of February. And you know, we've been getting calls that people were asking for public comments, and public comments are just meant to for public to make comments, whether positive or negative. We'll receive all those comments. But those things, they are for the subcommittee to use their own discretion in terms of the requirements, whether those people, they still qualify or not. So, but it doesn't mean if people did not comment about your name, you'll be disqualified. No. So it's a process. It's an open process because Parliament is promoting openness and transparency as per our constitution. So people, South Africans, must know who have applied, who didn't apply, so that anyone who claims to have applied and his CV is not there, people must know that no, that person will be misleading them. Everybody who have applied, their CVs are uploaded. So we are done with that process now. So the staff is busy with capturing of and summarizing of all those CVs. Thank you very much. You are doing it according to our processes of Parliament. And I think that's what I wanted to inform you, honourable members, on the with regards to the process of NYDA. But today we are going to deal with the first quarter and second quarter and third quarter, first quarter, second quarter and third quarter report of NYDA. But we'll start by getting the analysis from our research team, and then after, then we invite the NYDA to come and make their own presentation. With those few words, I think I declare this meeting officially open, and I can take. I see a hand from Honourable Mpithi.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, I just wanted, in terms of the NYDA process, I've received a lot of questions in regards to campaigning that has been happening, obviously, outside. So what exactly are the rules in regards to campaigning and lobbying that is happening, and does that have any impact on the process so that we are able to communicate? Because some people have the idea that the campaigning will somehow assist those candidates who have put their names forward. So I just wanted some clarity on that issue.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mpithi. I think, honourable members, even last week, it was brought to my attention that social media is busy campaigning. I don't know campaigning for what, because this is not a contestation. It does not have any bearing and any influence to the work that the subcommittee is going to do. We as the subcommittee are going to do our job as per what Parliament is requiring us to follow our due processes. Anything that is happening there in the social media, just disregard it. It's not for us. Ours is we are going to work with what we have received. And ours, we are going to concentrate on the parliamentary processes. Any lobbying that people are lobbying, saying what, I thank God I'm not part of social media to all read and to see all those things. So any member of the subcommittee, if you are being lobbied, just keep it there outside. It's not going to work in our subcommittee. So we, Honorable Mbiti, will focus in what we are, the task that is before us, follow legislative processes, any lobbying. Those who are contesting each other there in the social media, it's for their own contestation and lobbying for themselves. We, remember, we are to identify credible candidates, people who will rise to the task. Whatever campaigning they are doing outside, it does not affect us. It does not, in fact, involve us. So we must just stay away from it. Because those of us who are part of the committee, they know what is it that we have agreed upon. We have roles that we have agreed upon as a subcommittee that we are going to deal with things according to the way we have agreed in the meeting that we held. So please, anyone of the members must just stay away from those lobbying. We don't even want individuals to come and lobby us. Nobody must lobby us. Don't even get tempted. Sometimes, you know, people, they say, hey, members of the ANC will lobby. No. Just stay away from that. Members of the ANC, they know that they must not come and lobby us. They must give us space to do our work. So we are going to do our work. They know. So anybody who lobbies you, tell that person that no, because we will disqualify members who are being lobbied. We are not going to be shy. We will disqualify our members. If we know that you are being lobbied outside and you have promised people outside, anyone whom we will find that he has promised people that I'm going to appoint you or what, we'll disqualify that member, finish and clap, and subject that member to ethics committee like Parliament, because they know. We've explained to members, if you are part of the panel, how must you conduct yourself? So even members of the NCOP, they were part of that meeting, they know. Even staff members, we told them. You remember there was an issue of a draft advert that was circulating even before we finalized our own advert. We convened an agent meeting that day. We said the state security must investigate all our emails, that who leaked that information, you know? Because everybody who's there must know how must you conduct yourself. So I'm happy that you have raised it. Even Honorable Masikos raised it with me last week, because she was the first one who showed me. And I said, what is this now? And said, Chair, it's because you are not there. What do you call this thing of yours? Facebook, Twitter, and something, Instagram, or what? Or what? I said, yeah, ne? So just disregard all those things. Those people are just entertaining themselves. Honorable Masiko, thank you, Honorable Mpiti. Honorable Masiko.
Thanks, Chair. I think my own personal interpretation of what is happening is that Parliament has opened up the process for public comment. And I think young people have generally been creative around how is it that they would garner support. They've created posters that are profiling themselves and what their qualifications and everything is. And they are requesting other young people to comment. So for me, it's just a creative way of young people garnering support. The problem then, Chair, starts when the members of Parliament would also participate in the process of And that is what I had sent through to you, where one of our own members of parliament was also participating in a profile of profiling a young person. I don't think there is anything wrong with young people wanting support and for calling on other young people to write in and put in a good word for them and all of that. It's just their creativity. But what we need to stop is the...
Oh, the fan is making noise for you, ne? Yeah, maybe they must plug it somewhere there at the back. Even numbing, before it was making noise for me. Sorry for that.
Yes. I think what we need to call out and put a stop to is when our own members, because now we are the ones as parliament that is running the process of the appointment, and if we are showing interest ourselves, it becomes a problem. But for me, Che, it's a healthy competition amongst young people. They are creative around social media. We cannot stop them from doing that, but we know that it's not really going to affect the process of the appointment. It's an open process, we all know. Young people of South Africa are engaging through social media and other platforms, and that is welcome. They can do that. But we must ask desist from participating in that process. Thanks.
Yeah, for as long as that process doesn't jeopardize the work that we're going to do. What we're saying that all of us who are part of that panel, we must just stay away from all those things. In fact, me, I don't want even to hear any story. No member will raise it in a meeting and say in social media, there's this candidate that is receiving so many lobbies on votes or what. Those votes will not work for us. It's their votes. They must keep it to themselves. Our process is not subjected to those votes of social media. Our process is subjected to the process of parliament, which we are going to run to deal with, finish and clear. And then I think, honourable members, you know, this thing of GBV, you know what? I think it's traumatizing me now. Every week, every day, I receive calls. Even members, they call me about these issues, and that's why I'm sure you have seen another statement that I have issued out on behalf of the committee of one young girl, Tazni. You know, and it's sad. Every day something, a girl or a woman or a young woman is killed, is missing, is abducted, is what? It's too much. And you know what? The way it's so too much, I don't like it. It's getting too much. It's traumatizing me. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. You know, when I look at the people that were given parole, and I ask myself whether is it right for them to get parole or is wrong. Because some of those convicts are the ones who goes out again and repeats the same things that they have done. So it's like our communities are not safe. Even myself now, I'm scared. One of our members over the weekend to reside in Gauteng, Honorable Judith Shabalala. Even her, over the weekend, on Sunday, she was hijacked. And they say, I saw it in the newspaper, that she was abducted for almost an hour. And she was released after 2 hours or an hour. And her car was taken, was hijacked. So it's like, you are not safe. We are not safe as women. I think because now we're dealing with an NYDA, when we are sitting as the portfolio committee, I think we must think deeper. Good, what do we think is the solution for this? Because we want to walk free as women. Men must not look at us and see us as sex objects. We are not sex objects. And also, Why are we vulnerable to those criminals? You are driving as a woman, you are not safe even in your car, even in your own home. Some women are being hijacked right in their house, in their homes. You know, when you are going to your house, you are driving, right in your driveway, you'll be hijacked there. So as you drive, you are not safe, you feel scared, you don't know what to do. You don't know who is following you. Serious, honorable members, this one, I think the national, the interim steering committee must come and make a presentation. I think I've done last week, I've spoken to the chairperson for Multi Women Caucus, that I think in that meeting we need to invite the interim steering committee to come and make a presentation and tell us what is their strategy, what is their draft strategy saying. Because seriously, this thing is getting more and more and more. We are talking about awareness campaigns, but it seems like we are not saying anything. We are talking to deaf ears. These incidents are happening every day, honorable members, in our neighborhoods. We don't even know. You know, when I can't even go with a train here in Cape Town. I'm very scared. I can't even risk even going to town here in Cape Town. I'm very scared. I was telling my secretary last week that, yo, you know me, I can't go there. Even in the malls, you walk in a mall, your bag will be just taken. In a few minutes' time, your bag will be grabbed by someone you don't know, coming from where you don't know where. So I think, honorable members, we must think deeper on how then, as members of this committee, do you want government to deal with this issue of gender-based violence and femicide? Honorable Mpiti, you know, one day I will want to see you taking a lead in that of men, telling men that's not in your name. Not in your name. It's too much, honorable members. Honorable Sharif, over the weekend, she was talking to me. She was also traumatized about the issue of Tazni. So those of you who are fortunate, who are not receiving these calls every day, maybe you are living in another world, but me, I'm living here in South Africa. I'm receiving calls every day. And they are traumatizing me. I'm scared too. On the 10th of March, honorable members, we've been invited to a meeting where Injustice Portfolio Committee, it will be the Portfolio Committee for Justice, Police, Home Affairs, Defense, Women, and Social Development. It's not social, it's the Justice Cluster. Okay, it's a Justice, a JCPS Cluster that is meeting. So, honorable members, I'll want you to go to that meeting on the 10th. Please diarize it, because you'll be able to raise whatever questions on our behalf, because I don't think Kuti will be part of that meeting. Probably myself and honorable Masiko, and maybe one of you. I'm not sure. We're still waiting for the speaker to inform us that who are the members who are going to CSW, Beijing Platform 25 in March. So we'll hear from the speaker. So please go and attend that meeting. I think also this weekend, there'll be another one. It didn't receive that invitation from the Department of Women. There's there's also a meeting from Department of Women from the 29th, I think until the 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. That is also preparing a report that will be presented there in the UN. So as soon as that invite comes in, I will then ask the secretary to circulate it to honorable members so that they can start making my preparations for honorable members will be available to attend. Ne? It's important. Remember in the last meeting, I told the department that we did not adopt their report. So we don't want anybody to go and mislead people outside and say we have adopted that report. They must still come to the portfolio committee and present the report so that we adopt it officially in the right way. There's no shortcut. I then move to the next item. If there's no... Honorable Sharif? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you for being so decisive when I phoned you about the Tasne murder. I really appreciate that as a chairperson you take time out and listen and help where you can. So thank you very much for that. It gives me hope that we are doing something. We are doing something and we are doing something of value. It's unfortunate, but I'm going to speak to you after this meeting because I got another horrendous call yesterday. It's really bad, Chair. I mean, there are women out here who don't see any other way out of abusive relationships, especially when their partner is a police officer and they threaten the life of the woman. And so we'll speak after this committee to find out how we can work together to help. And you know, when I spoke to you over the weekend, I said, please get some debriefing and trauma counseling because we need you, Chair, and okay. We need you to be mentally prepared and healthy. So please look after yourself.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Sharif.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'm happy that the issue of Tasne has been raised in your opening, and I've been briefed that also the perpetrator has just got a parole from our own government. I think it must be noted by the portfolio committee how we manage the parole processes. And secondly, I understand the fact that as part of this portfolio committee, it was never raised an issue of one student from Fort Hare by the name of Yonela that has been buried at the Lower Seplan, a village in the Eastern Cape, at Ikala, that has been stabbed by a woman by the name of Yolanda, that have been then picked up on corridor discussions that she has been given a bail of 1,000, and I would like that also through the CGE, they must investigate if that is true, that Yolanda has been given a bail of 1,000, and she's proceeding or she's continuing with her studies as if it's business as usual. We must always, you know, be sensitive of the Yonela's parents, whom they are, you know, disadvantaged in the deep rural areas of the Eastern Cape at Lower Seplan. And because my understanding is that issues of gender-based violence and femicide cut across. It's either women, which is us, our children, and also men as well. So I think it must be noted by this portfolio committee that, you know, we must follow up on the Yonela issue. A former student, in fact, a former master's geology student at Fort Hare. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, ne? You see that these things are too much. Now, you know, I wonder one must say what if another woman is stabbing and killing another woman. Now it's even getting worse. Okay, we know that Honorable Mugweba, Mamsont, Janja. Yeah, sorry, no, Mamsont.
Abulala chairperson. Ngibulisana members, ngibulisana staff, ngibulisana abavakashi. Chairperson, ezindaba ezithethayo ze gender based violence zibuhlungu. And ngendlela ekubuhlungu ngakona endaweni yokokubana zibe ngcono ziyazibheka phambili kuba wese. Le nto ethetha ngayo khona manje yentombazana or umuntu ongumama obulala omnye umuntu ongumama. Iyenzekile khona ngoku apho ndihlala khona intombazana ibulele enye intombazana ngezi ndaba zezithazenzi esithetha ngazo chairperson esingaziyo okokubana zinganqotywa kanjani na okokuba zivalwe okanye zibe nexesha lokusebenza. Number two, umama omdala eparent ureyiphwa ngumakhelwane ahlala naye. Awugqiba ukumreypha xa kufanele uba kuyo emapoliseni bathi otshomi bakhe lo ureyphayo no le nto mayihlalelwe phantsi ikhulunywe isikhaya. Uvakala neento zoma-20,000 ezizawubhatalwa kuvalwa umlomo womama. So ndizama ukuthi izinto zibuhlungu chebeseni efanele uba nyhani kumiwe ngenyawo. How can umntu ongutata areyphe umntu omdala futhi kuye umntu ongumama amrepha athi awugqiba ze kungabi kho nto ifuneka ibheke phambili eya emthethweni kuthiwe kuzawubhatalwa kuvalwe umlomo. Zama ukuthi zibuhlungu chairperson ezinto ezenzekayo. Last weekend bekufihla umntwana, umntwana omncane uhlatyiwe naye umfana omncane umntwana uhlatyiwe kwezinto zasetywaleni ze-taverns chairperson. Inkosi.
Thank you very much, Mamsonti. You know, last week, honorable members, I don't know, Mamsonti, what you were here. I spoke about something that is happening in the rural areas. Honorable Mugweba told me about something that, you know, it's, for me, it's demonic and satanic. Where boys of 16 years, 17 years, 18 years, 19 years old are raping old people. Old people. You can hear? Old people. You know that thing, ne? Every day when I look at an old person, it's like, I feel like crying. That a 16 year old, 17 years old, 18 years old, 19 years old boy raping an old woman of 70 years, 80 years. Honorable Mugweba was telling me that you're in the rural areas, che, it's scary. So these things, we can talk about them for the whole day. For the whole day. Things that are happening outside. Yesterday, I was watching the news. I saw the chairperson for CGE. She was talking about a case of a forced sterilization to a young woman. But because I just saw it around 12 midnight, you know, I still want the secretary to write to her so that she can give us a full report on what she was talking about yesterday. You see, it's something else now. It's happening in our public hospital. Why? By who? What's happening? You know, because we can't talk about something when we don't know all the facts. I just saw her talking there. So I'm sure honorable members will invite CGE to come and it's a report. Yeah.
Chair, sorry to interrupt, Chair. They were issuing out formally a report of a study that they have done, which has shown cases, not even one, many cases of forced sterilization in hospitals in Gauteng and cases. And I think they have about 50 cases.
Yo.
But I also heard in the news today that the Minister of Health, Minister Zweli Mkhize, has requested a formal meeting with CGE for them to come to present the report to him. And Chair, I welcome the suggestion that we also request for the report to be presented before this portfolio committee.
Yeah, because, you know, it was midnight. So when I saw it, I said, what is this now? I couldn't follow it up. So I told myself that, you know what, I'm going to tell you what I saw last night on TV midnight, and I will want to request her to come and give us that report, you know, because it was shocking. Okay, let's go to the analysis by our researchers. Analyst Honorable Kashiba, maybe you'll be honorable one day. You must take it, receive it. Okay.
Morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members. So today we are having the National Youth Development Agency talk to us about their quarter report. We asked them to give a reflection of Q1 to 3 so that you understand, even though we're going to focus on Q3, at least you have some background as to see how they were performing since Q1. Previously, when we did our APP for 1920 for the NYDA, they did present Q1 there. The second thing of importance to note is that they've amended the annual performance plan. That was tabled on the... So that was the amended APP was tabled on the 4th of February, but the actual document on the front is 31 October 2019. So in terms of your documents today, you're going to get Q3, the PowerPoint presentation from the NYDA, the Word document, and then previously members had asked about their hotline and complaints, so they also gave us a report on complaints. And then you have the amended APP. But just two things before I hand over to Tasneem. So in terms of the meeting of the 10th of March with the JCPS cluster, a document will be prepared and circulated to members beforehand to give you background. Because the focus is around crime, more specifically violent crime, and improving collaboration within the JCPS cluster so that we can prepare questions for members to consider. Linked to that, the other important thing to note is for the African Union, their theme for this year is silencing the gun. So I think it's really relevant that we begin to see what does that mean for South Africa, because it's not just about wars and illegal trade of ammunition, but it's also the impact of small firearms and violence and so forth. And then around the CGE report, in the fourth administration, the CGE had noted to us that they were busy with that research report, but the biggest struggle was getting the Department of Health to actually meet with them to provide more information. So I'm glad that they've actually been able to finalize the report, and maybe in the next term after April, we can perhaps, with guidance from the committee, to look at a conferral meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Health. And then we ask the CGE to come and present the report to us so that we have the health component there and then us as well. So for now, I'll hand over to Tasneem. She'll take members through the program performance around Q3 and the finances. Then I will look at some of our outstanding matters from the annual report and the initial APP that was presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Kashifa. Yeah, Kashifa, when we invite the CGE, I think they are outstanding reports, ne? So that day it must be the whole day so that they can make, they must present all the reports that they are outstanding. So make sure that that day it's a whole day.
Thank you, Chief. Members, I'm going to be referring to this document called Analysis on the NYDA's Quarterly Reports 2019-2020. Oh. While we're waiting for the document, I think Ashwa neglected to mention that we received this document only on Friday. And Chair, it is difficult to do a vigorous analysis of 3 quarters, which is in essence 9 months of work over such a short amount of time. So just to flag to the NYDA that documents need to be presented much earlier for us to scrutinize it. It's hard for members to look at 9 months of work and you only receive the documents on a Friday and you're expected to look at everything by the time they get here on Tuesday. So just to flag that to you. So everybody has the document now. Okay. So I'm going to skip right to page 3 under heading number 2, which speaks about the amendments to the annual performance plan, which Kashva mentioned last week. I alerted members to the fact that an amendment had been made. So it says on the 18th of February 2020, the committee was alerted to the change about the NYDA's APP. And as per the amended APP and as Kashva stipulated, it was on the 31st of October 2019, the following changes were noted. So there were additions made to Program 1, which is under administration. There were 3 KPIs added. The first one was the development of a compliant supply chain management policy. The second one was the number of quarterly financial management reports produced. And the third one was around the development and implementation of an annual work performance plan. And then they deleted one KPI, which was the 1 million following the NYDA in media platforms. And this is consistent with the feedback that the committee had given the NYDA when they met with us in September. So they actually made those changes, and a month later it was complete. So those were the changes that our committee had recommended to the NYDA, and they made those changes. Okay, then going straight over to the quarterly performance. In the presentation that they sent to us on Friday, they state that in this review in the period under review between April and December 2019, the NYDA had 21 KPIs, of which 8 were met, 7 were exceeded, and 6 were not met. And the overall achievement is 71% and 29% not met. If you refer to the presentation they sent, that will be on slide 7 for members to refer to. However, if you look closer and count the actual KPIs, you'll notice that there are actually 24 KPIs. And this includes the one that they deleted on the media platform. However, I think this might have just been an error from their side in terms of how they presented it, because if you add the new KPIs, it adds up to 23, and if you deleted the media platform KPIs, it does add up. I think they just made an error in terms of the presentation, but we can look at that closer. So the tables in below that looks at 3 programs essentially, and these are only the unmet targets. Programs 1, 2, and 4. The first program under administration, the first KPI that was not met was the number of partnerships with public and the private sector. And they cited that the reason for not meeting this was that the target was not met because MOUs were not signed, and they do give remedial action that members can see there below. On the next page, under Program 2, the number of beneficiaries supported with business development support services offered by the NYDA. This target was not met, and they cited the reason for this was that the target was not met because printing materials were not delivered on time. I think this is slightly problematic given that a quarter is on average 3 months, so I'm not sure how that could be a good reason why they didn't deliver services to youth. Because they didn't have printing services available. So I urge members to look at that. And then the second one under that particular program, number of jobs facilitated through placements in job opportunities. They say they didn't meet this target. They say young people have been placed in available opportunities.
When they say annual target was 10,800, and the quota, in that quota, they
were meant to, so the total annual target would be 10,000 for that target as a whole for the whole year.
Okay.
And then they wanted to reach 6,000 by that quarter, but they only managed 3,184.
Is it quarter 3?
Yes, Chief.
Because I see quarter 3 achievement.
That's what they met, but they didn't...
The 3,184.
Yes. Okay. So, under the next one, number of jobs facilitated through placements in job opportunities, it says young people have been placed in the opportunities, but they're still awaiting evidence of these placements. I think members need to scrutinize that further. How are they actually investigating that youth are being placed in the places where they're saying they're being placed? So it's around monitoring that process. Then on the last, on the page 6, following over to page 6, under research and policy.
So they don't, they say they have placed, young people have been placed in available opportunities, but they don't provide
they can't
with
verify,
evidence.
Yes, G.
Or how do they get to this number if they can't verify?
That we need to investigate and find out, because I'm also not clear, G, because they do say they have been placed and they have enough placements, but they're
so
waiting for
they are placed by who?
I don't
when they can't
verify. Exactly. Because they say that, I mean, this is not my words, it's what they say. They say young people have been placed in available opportunities, however, we are waiting for evidence from placement. So that's something we need to clarify. It is a question that I flagged. Yes, I think that's what the chairperson is trying to find out, is how do they get the numbers they haven't been verified. Yes. I put that as one of the questions on the next page, Jay. So then on the last program, program 4, research and policy, it says target not met, and it says terms of reference, the KPI that was not met was number of impact evaluations conducted, and it says it has not been met because the terms of reference drafted has been sent out to service providers through requests for quotations. So it's another thing around them waiting for feedback. But I see that there seems to be a trend in them saying we're waiting for feedback, so they can't deliver on certain targets because they're waiting feedback. So I listed some questions to consider for that.
They are waiting for feedback in quarter one, and then in quarter three, what did they say?
No, Chair, this is only related to quarter three.
Oh.
Okay, so then under the budget and expenditure funding, Chair, and members will notice there's a...
The question that I have is, in terms of these particular, and I think the last couple of targets where we're looking at number of jobs facilitated through placement, and then the one that follows after that up until page 6.
Yep.
If when we look at or analyze quarter 1 and quarter 2, were they achieved in those quarters, for example? Because it will then give us an explanation if we have a problem here. I don't know if you get me.
Yeah, I should get it. In fact, what I want Tasmin to do is that as she presents the report, she must also indicate that in quarter one this was not achieved, two it was not achieved, and then three, what's happening in three? So that we can move faster, ne?
Okay.
Yeah, and be on the same page.
I think that's, for me, that's just a part of the difficulty in doing this analysis. So a lot of the information was cumulative. So I do have the data, but I only focused on the cumulative for quarter three. Perhaps when Kashfa presents, we can also look at one and two.
Okay.
But for us, we, yeah.
All right.
But I'll go through it and then we can maybe address some of that too.
Okay.
Okay. So then going further on to the expenditure stuff under number 4, members will notice if when you looked at the presentation there was this table. It says budget expenditure per program. I found this particularly problematic for me to look at because the programs don't align with the programs in the APP. So they have, for example, things like universal access opportunities and one or two other programs, but it's not actually listed in the ABP. And I think this dates back to historically what had happened. They had these programs originally and then they merged them. But that's not clear from how they're presenting the expenditure plan, and that needs to be made clear for us to scrutinize each program, because now I don't want to assume that I should merge two programs and it then adds up to a particular amount for a program. So,
in terms
basis of a compliance and DPSA guidelines. That's how you must explain to us that because I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. If they have planned for program 3 that they are going to do 1, 2, 3,
yep,
then we as honorable members, when we do oversight, we check what they have written,
yeah,
according to their APP.
Yeah.
So this confusion is for what? In terms of what you are telling us, that it's like they've put things...
So, Chi, originally, for example, this under number 1, 2, 3, 4 on that table, universal access to opportunities, that no longer exists when they're presenting it to us in the program. That's now been merged into another program, but they're still presenting the breakdown as is. Maybe.
Okay, no, I hear you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know whether honorable members, do you hear what she's saying?
Hmm.
You don't hear Masiko? She must repeat again.
You get that? So if we just think of Department of Women, the FIRE program. So when we ask Department of Women to talk targets, they'll say number of targets achieved. When we come to the budget, this is the allocation for program 1, and Crystal will say, this is what they spent, this is where they over and under spent. For the NYDA, there are 4 programs. So in the APP, the money is according to those 4 programs. But what we're finding is when they present their quarter 3 now, they give you an indication of the money spent, but it's not program 1 was given this and this is how much we spent. They say universal access opportunities, we spent so much. So under that theme, you must say, okay, universal access opportunities means we gave training here, we gave an opportunity there. But when you look at where those things are, some of it may be in program 1, some of it be in program 2. So the request to the NYDA is, when you present your financials, do it according to the APP. This is what you've been allocated, where you're over and underspent, and in which specific programs. So that we also know, in terms of your grant program, this is your total allocation, so this is what you disbursed for quarter 3. But Tasneem can't do that because how it's currently presented is how they used to refer to programs before the APP was introduced and amended.
So in other words, you can't even see whether they've done viaments within programs because it's confusing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if money was allocated for program 1 and program 2 and program 3, how do you then take programs, sub-programs that fall that falls under program 3, and then you say you have used so much amount, the whole money for program 1, for programs that are under program, programs that are under program 1, but also with programs that are were in program 3. Because when you say that, immediately when you say that, that means there must be viaments. And if there are viaments, you need to follow the right procedure of viaments. Do you get that, ne?
Yeah,
Honorable Mfiti.
Yeah.
So just on a point of clarity, when, let's say, for example, we take what we have been given here, when we do the calculation, does give us the correct?
Yes, the numbers do add up.
Okay.
But I think, and thank you, Chief, for allowing the clarity. I think that, for me, was a difficulty because we're not clear in terms of this is program 1, this is program 2, this is program 3. They just aggregated differently in terms of themes, so it's difficult for us to look at those numbers. But the numbers in terms of the budget, they do add up. Can I continue, Chief? Okay. So they presented us with this table, quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3. So what the table basically tells us is what they had budgeted for and what they actually spent and the percentage of the spending. Members will notice I circled some numbers where they were overspending.
And maybe it's about flagging that and asking the NYDA why this was done. The difficulty is because we haven't had the opportunity to engage with them in quarter one, then quarter two, then quarter three. And why I said it's frustrating for us to look at all three quarters in such a short amount of time. It's hard to engage at that on that level. Because now in quarter one, we saw overspending for administration employee contact, employee costs and capital expenditure. In quarter two, we saw overspending in universal access to opportunities, again in administration, again in employee costs, and again in capital expenditure. And then finally, in quarter three, they've gotten much better, but they've overspent again in universal access to opportunities and administration. So it's about flagging and asking them why these over-expenditures were made. And then conversely to that, they underspent in programs like the National Youth Service. I know Kashpa is going to speak about that some more. And they've underspent in research and policy and asking them why that's the case, especially since I know the president had flagged the National Youth Service in the State of the Nation. So it's problematic that they are underspending in this particular program. And maybe they can provide explanation for that.
What?
Gee, that's under the National Youth Service.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. So I've listed some questions for members to...
Yeah, they're at 58%.
Yes. And but why? So we need to look at that. And then I've listed some questions there. And then moving on, just in terms of their money, the last time they came to present to the committee, they listed a whole lot of donors and or fundraising partners, if you will. That's what they call it. So when I looked at the old list, they've then added new funders. And so what I've done is I've actually just taken the list that they've given us, and then in grey you'll see these are the new funders. And some they've received some big money from Coca-Cola, which is $13 million, and then again from the Department for Small Business Development, $25 million. And this speaks to that 1,000 businesses in 100 days. The president had flagged that in the State of the Nation as well. So about that, maybe members need to also question, and we've been, I know the chair has raised this before, about who is getting this money, which businesses, in what sectors. So if it's, I don't know what day they are now in terms of their 100 days, but how many businesses have been accessing this particular fund, and how many, and what sectors are they in, and how much money are they getting? Just in terms of something that I noted, so when I looked at all the funders, I noticed that one had been removed. So I wasn't sure why this was the case, but maybe members can ask. It was called it was part of the Mangaung municipality, and the money was for the grant program, which was 300,000, but it's now subsequently been removed from the list. And I'm not sure why that's the case. So maybe members can flag that and ask them why this money was removed. Then the other thing that I found very interesting was that the Eastern Cape provincial government is providing $50 million for the grant program to the NYDA. And something that was raised in the media and by Statistics South Africa was the high unemployment rates, and that we've now moved marginally up in terms of unemployment for youth. And something to note is that the Eastern Cape is one of the highest unemployment rates for youth. So we need to maybe find out of this money, of the $50 million, how many youth within the Eastern Cape are actually receiving this grant money. Then
I think, still on that one, if you're saying the Eastern Cape is the one who gave them $50 million.
The municipality.
Not the municipality,
the provincial government.
The provincial government.
Yes.
Okay, what we need to do, in that program of ours for oversight, you must include this one. We must go and do oversight.
And investigate that, yeah.
And investigate on whether this $50 million that was contributed by the Eastern Cape provincial government, it benefited the youth of Eastern Cape, or it did what?
Yeah.
Ne? So this will be one of the sites that we'll visit.
Okay.
When they come in, what we are going to do, we are going to ask them, what have they done with this? Ne? And then we'll go there. So, and yourselves, honorable members, you must note, as they are presenting the report, where you see a discrepancy, and then and tell us, indicate, ne? So that when we are going to do our oversight, we are going to do our strategic plan, these are the oversight visits that we're going to do as the portfolio committee. Is it fine?
Agreed. Okay.
Okay, Chair. I think that's all from my side. Something that I think the members had mentioned in the previous meeting, and as we headed toward quarter four and looking at the financial year coming to an end, I remember the NYDA had noted that there was two cases pending that could relate to the Auditor General had flagged. I don't know if they had settled this case, but it's something that I don't know if members remember, we had spoken about it. It was about there were two procurement issues at the NYDA, and somebody had not declared money in relation to work done. So they said there were, it was an ongoing investigation. So maybe we can discuss it in quarter four as well, but I just thought I'd flag it in case it comes up, because we had raised it in the last meeting. And if we want the NYDA to remain, to have a clean audit and remain having no illegal expenditure, they must resolve this before next month. Which is next month? By next month. And one more thing. Some of the targets that they've raised, they put dates to it. So you'll see one of them said the 28th of February, which is 3 days away. So when looking at some of the targets, just check the dates where they made commitments to reach by a certain date. They are 3 days away from that particular commitment. They should either have resolved it it must be resolved in the next 3 days. Thank you.
I think the other thing that I'm interested to hear from them is the President, in his State of the Nation address, he spoke about the 100...
Yes, the 1,000.
The 1,000 jobs. Mm. And then he spoke about the grant, ne? Yes. That will be given to small businesses. And then people were starting to call on which office is going to assist them in terms of them accessing that grant. And I think you must remember it, honourable members, so that you can ask them, because South Africans are waiting for us to tell them in which office can they go and apply for it. Because even myself, when they started calling me, I was not even in a position to tell them in which office, but I heard the President talking about that grant. Ne? You were there, Mos. You heard the President. Honourable Pete. You didn't hear the President when he was talking about the grant that it will be available tomorrow.
It was as of today, as in the Day of State of the Nation.
Yes, the President spoke about it. You are young, you should be knowing these things. You know me, I was having my own interest, but I heard about this. Yes, Honorable.
Sir, you are correct that... in fact, in the State of the Nation address, they said that the relevant department will be the SMMEs, the Department of small, medium, and whatever. So
small business.
Yes, it lies in that department. That's what the President said.
So, but you must know what will be the role of NYDA then, or the relationship in terms of ensuring that young people do access that grant. Ne? You must remember it. Me, I'm reminding you this thing so that you can write it down. Ne? Honorable Pete.
Thanks, Chair. Just two questions. The first one is in regards to, I don't know if it's still coming up or will be presented later, but we had flagged an issue on the organogram of the NYDA. I don't know whether they've sent us anything in regards to that. The issue of the chairperson having a driver as well as the CEO having a driver. So I'd really like to know whether they've amended that structure or not. If they haven't sent anything to us to explain that particular issue, then it's fine, we can ask them when they get to us. The second thing is, and I think we've asked this question before the committee, is in regards to I'm glad that they've put the 3 points that relate to their financial controls, but obviously those are not sufficient. And I also, Chair, I would go as far as to say that I don't believe that those three inputs onto the APP are in line with the way that financial controls need to appear on an APP. So I don't think, and maybe presume you can maybe say something about that. But as far as I'm looking at it, I don't believe it's the same. I don't think it's in line with how other departments are doing their financial controls. And then just to get to the point of the donations, we had asked them how are they looking at being responsible, financially responsible with the donations that they receive, and whether there was some form of management that they have over these donations that they fund. And so I don't know legally, you know, what document or policy should they be following on this, because I mean it is a bit of a concern that, you know, money is coming in to an institution that, you know, that has very weak financial controls, but also with the regulation, you know. And I think that's something that's very important that we had asked in the previous committee. So yeah, I just wanted to make those points.
Honourable PT, when you're talking of EMA regulations, I remember we spoke about DBSA regulations and National Treasury regulations that they need to follow when they are allocating money. If my memory serves me well, didn't you say that, Kashif? Yeah. I remember I stood up and I went to Kashif. She was having her laptop there, and I went through DBSA guidelines and the National Treasury guidelines, and which we advise them that as and when they allocate resources, they must also look at what the DBSA and National Treasury guidelines are saying regarding that. Do you remember it? Kashifa, you can also help.
You know, I'm aging. Maybe it's only me. My medulla is capturing things. And
thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Just on the organogram and the issue of the driver, they actually didn't provide us with any additional information. So that's something that can be followed up on. In terms of the financial controls, Chairperson is correct. We had noted to the CEO that surely in terms of DPSA guidelines, that should assist them in terms of how they report, whether it's the APP, in-year, the quarter reports, and the annual report. And the argument by them was that technically they're not governed by DPSA. But we said Treasury guidelines still will assist, especially around those financial controls. So their indication is there are financial controls. But I think one of the issues would come back to, given that the board does not correct, how is that currently being managed? Yes, you've got a CEO, yes, you've got a CFO, but in terms of the role of the board, whether it's about new monies that are coming in from donors and the decision-making. So I think that's something to be raised and asked. Given the current challenges that they're in, how are they dealing with that process at present? Chief, can I just, I know we're in terms of time, but can I just pick up some of the financial control issues on page one of my document?
On the issue of the board, mm-hmm. is that not taken care of by the process that we've requested the minister to do and appoint an agent or what do you call it, a CGE to assist in terms of the process?
I think we know what we need to do now. Remember that official who's delegated or from the Department of Women, there's one official who's assigned to be responsible for youth.
I think that one should be here. She'll then account on that one. Ne? But remember, coming to what Kashifa was adding on what I've said regarding the guidelines and regulations, Honorable MPT, you remember that day I even told them that they are not a private entity, they are a public entity. So we must also remember all those things, that they are a public entity, they are not a private entity. So anything that they are doing, they must follow a public regulations.
which is National Treasury and DBSA regulations, guidelines. Okay.
Thank you, Chief. So, just quickly turning to my document, I've got the table on the first page. Just picking up the issues of what Tasneem had mentioned, that we've got the amended APP. Yes, we commend them. They've got now three new targets around administration. But linking to what Honourable Mpiti said, the committee was very clear. When we looked at that initial APP, there was nothing about governance in there. There was nothing about financial management or HR. So even these three targets now, if you look at the first one, they're only going to implement that supply chain management in 2020-2021. So you must ask, what are you doing in the meantime? What helps to guide officials within the NYDA around supply chain management? So that's very important. The second target, financial report. Will producing a report ensure that you have improved internal efficiencies and service delivery? No, it's not you producing the report. It's what's contained in the report. Like Chair was saying, are you sticking to vitamins within what Treasury regulates? That's what we're more interested in. Not the fact that you've produced a report, but it's the contents of that report. And taking us back to the board and Program 4. Last week we heard Program 4 does an oversight report. What are they reporting on when the board is reporting? So when you look at this financial management report, they said they met that target. But who's dealing with the outcomes of that report? So if there were challenges that were brought up, who's dealing with it? Is the board dealing with it, the CEO, the CFO? And where does Program 4 from the department fit in? What are they reporting on to the minister in terms of what has been reported on? Okay. And so it again brings to question, what is this role of Program 4 in the Department of Women? So that, again, in terms of the amended APP, we welcome three new targets, but like Honourable Petey said, that's not enough. We made it very clear, what are the targets that we're actually looking for? It's the contents of what's in those reports. If we move over to page 2, Tasneem noted if, around the targets met and unmet. So they're saying 6 unmet targets, as you will find in the PowerPoint presentation. But in the Word document for the CEO, we pick up 7 unmet targets. Because the CEO says in Program 1, only 50% was achieved. Out of 4 targets, 2 was met and 2 was not met. But I can't find where that other unmet target is. So we just need clarity around that. It could just be a typo. Yes. So on table page 2, Program 1, which is the other target that was not met in Program 1. They only mention one target that was not met, which is the job partnerships with public and private sector. If we look at Program 2, yeah, they're saying the number of beneficiaries supported with business development support services. Now, as Tasneem has mentioned, you know the challenge around the cumulative amount. So they look at targets and they add them all up by Q3. Now by Q4, they need to support 5,000 beneficiaries. That's a lot that they need to support. Still on page 2, the table, Program 2, the second line. So they're saying the target not met is having to support beneficiaries, right? But now when we look at what's that outstanding target, you're looking at 5,000 people with youth and they still need to support. How are they going to do that in 3 months? That's a lot. The next one, number of jobs facilitated. Again, it's to ask, like Tasneem was saying, what does the facilitation role entail? Specifically, what do you mean when I say facilitate? Are you giving names of youth? Are you opening up the database? What do you mean facilitate the job opportunity? Are you literally taking the youth to a specific company or department and say, apply here. What does that facilitation actually mean? And again, this target wasn't met, so they need to support over 3,000 youth in quarter four in order to achieve the target for the year. Then now we're on page three. In terms of the number of new service delivery channels established, they didn't meet this target. In quarter four, they now need to open up 6 new service delivery channels. Can they do that? We have 1 month left to the end of the financial year. Again, number of young people trained. How will the NYDA ensure that it will train the remaining number of youth in order to achieve the target? Again, that number is big. How are they going to do that in a short period of time? And the last one around the number of impact evaluations. They say they didn't meet this target. But how do you leave an impact evaluation to the last quarter? Remember, when you look at impact, a research study around that is often done over a longer period. How are they possibly going to do that in 3 months? It's very short. And why did they wait so late to suddenly realize they now need to get a service provider? I think it's just a caution. Are we looking at fiscal dumping? In other words, we need to spend that money before the end of the financial year. So now we suddenly need to get a service provider in to do something. But can a service provider do an impact evaluation in 3 months? The NYDA operates throughout the whole of the country. Which evaluations are they doing?
Is it in a specific province, in a specific department? It's big.
So what could be the role of the department here, of the Department of Women? Because I think the other thing that we need to ask the Department of Women here, honorable members, is that what is it exactly that they are doing regarding youth? Because you see, we are just getting NYDA reports here, but in terms of what exactly is the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disability is doing regarding issues of youth, I don't get a sense. I don't know whether I'm the only one who's not getting a sense. Maybe you guys, you are getting a sense, but me, I don't get it. So that question of Honorable Mpiti regarding the drivers and what, you know, honorable members, those questions that we said the department must go and work with them, I think we must direct to the department official. Ne? So that these ones must be responsible for the finances that they are managing. Ne? Understandable, ne? We ask them all these things, but that woman who's dealing with the youth issues must respond to these questions. But in terms of financial management, NYDA board and the CEO and the CFO must then be accountable for those ones. Okay.
Thank you, Chief. So again, just to reiterate, I'm on page three around the governance. Like Tasneem has mentioned, they talk about donor money, donor funding received for Q3. So that money has come in. And again, it's to ask, well, if you're not curating, how is the board taking decisions? How are they dealing with, because the CEO in the NYDA report indicates operationally things are carrying on. You know, they're doing what they're supposed to. But how are they doing that? I think it's very important to establish. Still on page three, at the end, grants program. So the grants program, they tell us they're dispersing money, and one of the huge numbers of beneficiaries is around farming, particularly around enterprises and cooperatives.
Note that one, eh? Yeah. For oversight.
So again, my question is, so if NYDA is giving money for young emerging farmers, what's the role of Department of Agriculture and Land? So I've checked with Agriculture and Land. For agriculture, there's a CAS program, which is a comprehensive agricultural support program, IMA and ETSEMA, as well as Land Care, and then there's still junior care, out of school junior care. So there are programs within these departments that may not specifically address youth, but they support young emerging farmers. And in the land program, there is something specifically for youth in and out of school. Again, we need to ask, when a potential beneficiary comes to the NYDA and asks money to start up a farm, how are they working with land, department and agriculture, to know whether that person perhaps received initial startup funding there? So what are they giving that in addition? And again, it comes back to how are they working collaboratively with other departments? Because the idea is, we all know the fiscus in government is constrained at the moment. We need to maximize and work more efficiently with what we have. So it would almost make sense for us to know, well, how does NYDA know from all its the grant that is currently being disbursed to young emerging farmers, that those farmers perhaps are not currently on the receiving end of money from agriculture and Department of Land Reform. So that's important for us to note. And if it's not happening, we should encourage that there should be better collaboration, that we begin to see how better we can support youth.
In the reports, there's no way when they show that they have funded them in their report.
They indicate that in terms of service, retail, and farming, it's one of the kind of the top three sectors in which they disperse money to. And it's performing, it's mainly around cooperatives and enterprises. So they give the money, it's going, and they're saying it's going particularly to farming.
Did they tell you specifically where are those farmers?
No. So it goes back to us, between myself and Tasneem, to look, well, where's the detail around these partnerships and beneficiaries? Previously, with the annual report, they gave us a whole long list of all the potential beneficiaries, but for astute oversight by the committee, you want to be able to see that per quarter. You don't only want to wait until the end of the year. Looking at page 4 and around the National Youth Service, again, just to pick up around their partnerships. So they say they have partnerships with national departments, provincial, local, and businesses. My question is, what's the nature of those partnerships? Are they MOUs, or is it just for a specific period and a specific project? So if we take the farming example, is there a formal relationship with Department of Agriculture and Land? What's the nature of the relationship? So in other words, if there's agreement, NYDA is going to support young, emerging farmers, how do they work hand in hand with Department of Land and Agriculture so that we don't duplicate, but that we enhance? So it's very important for us to know, you cite all these partnerships, but what's the nature of the partnership? Is it only a short-term issue for a specific project, or is it long-term? In terms of research and policy, again, for this is the last program, they said that they achieved 75%. Only one target was not met, and I spoke to that one, which was the evaluation report. But more importantly, in terms of the targets which they did meet, what was the outcome of the surveys that they did? What are people actually saying when they do the survey? Two, they've got a stakeholder engagement plan and government priorities. What's that? Who are they engaging with? And who's monitoring that? And where are those reports? Then they also said they achieved the outcome of the Youth Status Outlook report. But we're more interested in not just that you develop the report, what's contained inside the report, what should be brought to members' attention that youth are saying about youth matters in the country. Two things which I think is very important. Last week, Program 4 told us we have a draft national youth policy. The NYDA in quarter 3 didn't mention anything about a draft national youth policy. It's nothing under the research program, or even in terms of initial commentary. Again, it's to say, well, if Program 4 within our department is doing that draft national youth policy, but the NYDA is responsible for implementation, where's the collaboration between the two? What's the involvement? And they need to report on it. Similarly, when we did the annual report at the APP, they told us they'd be looking at the review of the NYDA Act. It's 1 month left to the end of this financial year. Where are we in terms of that? And who's taking responsibility? So in terms of the National Youth Development Agency Act, what the NYDA had told us before is that act needs to be reviewed. But as Tavi went through quarter three, there's nothing mentioned about work done on the reviewing of the NYDA Act. So again, it goes back to what's the role of the NYDA in terms of policy and law, as well as program four within the Department of Women, Youth and Disability. But if the NYDA Act needs to be amended, who's taking charge of that? Who's doing it? And when will it be introduced? It's right at the bottom of page four. So as we move to the last outstanding matters on page five, so from the annual report, members were saying, please focus on providing assistance to youth within tertiary institutions and TVET colleges around mental health concerns. So in Q3, they talk about the YE-AIDS program, which will assist youth. But I looked at the YE-AIDS program. At the end of page 5, it says, this is a non-profit company under the leadership of the Department of Higher Education and works in partnership with the Universities of South Africa and South African College of Principals of Organization. So again, I need to ask, what's the role of the NYDA? It comes back to the issue of the fundraising that Tavneen speaks about and the partnerships. Because are we receiving money from these various partners, or is it that partner's contribution in terms of delivering on a target? So the same with YE-AIDS. YE-AIDS is led by a non-profit company. It's not the NYDA initiative. But what's the role of the NYDA? And if YE-AIDS is spending money, what's the NYDA spending money in this regard, and what are they specifically doing? Around the 16 days, so they report in Q3 that's one of the initiatives that they're carrying out and doing. But when I looked further, that's how it comes across. But actually, it's a non-profit company under the leadership of Department of Higher Education. So the issue is it goes back to your partnerships and your MOU. What's the partnership? What does the MOU say? What is your role? What is my role? And also particularly around the money. If you say you're fundraising, is that money from another government department coming into your bank account? Or is it just that that's your funder's contribution to deliver on a particular target? That's a huge difference. Because how can you fundraise money that's already been earmarked by National Treasury for a government department? You can't do that. That money's already been allocated via E&E by a specific vote. So it's not to say that the NYDA raised money. They may have collaborated and say, you know what, in order for us to support farmers, we can give 5 million, hypothetically, you give 2 million. So together there's 7. But they didn't raise that. It's what was already budgeted for in another department. So the same with YE-AIDS. What's the role of the NYDA? Because YE-AIDS has already been funded and budgeted for by a Department of Higher Education. And just as I'm wrapping up on the APP, from our previous meeting, we told them that they needed to amend it. They did, but again, the APP is dated 31 October, but it was only tabled in February this year. Why so long? In terms of complaints, members said, please give us a report on complaints. They gave us a report, so there's 32 complaints, and there was only 2 pending. But out of that, I think there's one issue that I think needs to be brought to members' attention. There was a bribe allegation referred to internal audit, but no substantive finding. So again, it just members need to say, well, the matter was resolved, internal audit dealt with it, but how are you dealing with potential corruption within the NYDA? Because already we know your supply chain management policy is only going to be implemented in 2021. So what guides officials within the NYDA to be sure that you don't accept bribes? Where's the policy and standard operating procedures to tell them what they can and can't do? And then just the last one is the agency should negotiate with municipalities, government and the private sector to lobby youth for employment opportunities, internships and business opportunities. The NYDA cited these partnerships on Q3, but we need more specifics. In other words, which national departments, which provincial departments and which municipalities? And we need to definitely explore the nature of these partnerships and know, is there an MOU? Is it a long-term arrangement? Is it a short-term? Or is it only for a specific project? So that's why they're reporting it on Q3. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Kashifa.
Just to add to something that Kashifa had mentioned in terms of their partnerships, it's an issue that's been going on for years with the NYDA. So they present, for example, they've created 1,300 jobs within a particular department, but then that same department presents the same amount of jobs for youth. So it's about questioning what is their role exactly. Are they creating the 1,300 jobs, or are they piggybacking on another department or another entity and their program? So just maybe it's about scrutinizing those partnerships and how they come about and how much youth the NYDA actually impacts on directly and how much their facilitation plays a role in terms of connecting them with another department and have that department use their funds and they actually empower those youth. So maybe it's around looking at, maybe it's about the words they use or how they actually create their targets, because it's the numbers are huge, but is the NYDA actually meeting those targets, or is it the partnerships that are meeting those targets that they are reporting on? That is one thing. And then something that she flagged that I wanted to raise within the department of program 4, just to remind members, there are only two KPIs for that program. The one is to look at the National Youth Policy, to monitor it. And so at this point, we still haven't seen a draft of the National Youth Policy. We don't know what the role of the NYDA is in terms of the National Youth Policy. However, they do list it in the APP as a guiding legislative, part of the guiding legislative framework. So we don't know what their role is in that regard. And then the other thing is, we ask them to relook at this particular KPI, but they said it provide oversight over the NYDA. That's all they do. In terms of the program, that's all they report on, the National Youth Policy and oversight over the NYDA. Other than that,
so there's
nothing else.
National Youth Policy.
We haven't seen it yet, Jay. According to the department last week, it's in draft. We still haven't seen it. They said they were sending it out for consultation. The committee has requested in previous meetings for the draft. We haven't seen it, and it ends in 20. Well, the new one is meant to be starting this year, essentially. So we still haven't seen it.
I just want to get clarity on the issue of the hate. You say it's a non-governmental organization that has got funds for it, but then NYDA...
It's
another
NGO.
That's why NGO. I say it's a non-governmental organization.
Oh.
But then, the role of the NYDA, do they also say they fundraise for this program? I just want to get clarity on that.
In fact, we must get what is their relationship with EAs? Why are they writing as if EAs is theirs when it's not theirs? If it's theirs, how? What is their relationship? Ne?
Thank you, Chief. So on the slide 34 and 35. Or is it? Yeah, so it's 34 and 35. It starts on 33, 34, 35. It gives you some sense of their partnership, but the nitty-gritty as to, are you having an NYDA official actually go out and do counseling? Are you giving money for the office? What is it that you're physically doing in terms of resources, in terms of your personnel, and in terms of contributing to a model that's already been established under higher education? So again, like Kasim says, they're piggybacking, but we can't tell you specifically how much money they're giving and what they're doing. except for what they document on page 33, 34 and 35.
Maybe you know Tasnim and Kashifa, you know what is their mutual interest in terms of this. You see, when you read bullet number one of that page 35, read it. Wellness and social economic development programs as well as other matters of mutual interest. What does that mean? Like what? I thought me, when I'm reading English, maybe it's me who don't understand. That's why I'm raising it with you, that maybe you guys can help us. You understand what is this mutual interest? Maybe they have clarified to you in the previous years. Did you check with the other department? Maybe they understand what is this. Okay, what is the next document? We're done. Okay, honorable members, here's the presentation for our analysis. Are there any clarity seeking question? Because now we'll have enough time to question and get clarity seeking questions from NYDA and to the department. Because, you know, that's why I want us to separate issues that the department is responsible for and issues that the NYDA must come and account to Parliament for. Because if we have said a department must go and work with the NYDA to resolve 1, 2, 3, then we'll want to hear from the department how do they resolve 1, 2, 3. Ne? And then, but also, that does not mean we are not going to ask them. We're still going to ask them, but we want the department also to tell us, because they have a role to play. They have a responsibility as a department.
Okay, just a very practical example. So if you think of the Sanity Dignity Program, we know the intention, Treasury allocated money across all the provinces to have that rolled out. And the intention is to support SMMEs around producing that. But again, what's the role between our department and the NYDA to identify potential use in relation to the Sanity Dignity Project? Because that's under our department, something specific. It's currently being rolled out, but nowhere do we see it being reflected in our department, in their quarter performance reports, or in the NYDA. So that's one concrete example in which you can say, how are you even collaborating on something as specific as the Sanity Dignity Program, which is championed by Department of Women.
Okay. So we're done. We can invite them in. Okay, let's go.
Thanks. It's just a request to the researchers if they could, even if it's not today, but it would be better if they would probably during the duration of the meeting to get what the budget is for the youth component in the department. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think there are other things that we said the department must, at least today we're inviting NYDA, and the department must also tell us in terms of the youth issues. You remember? You remember, Honorable Orin Kotlu? Ngiyazama uyibamba lezi zinto kodwa ziphinde iphume futhi. Kashifa, it has been, come and sit here.
report, ne? Yeah, but why don't you check the, if there's no plug so that you can plug this thing? Yeah, but it's fine. Yeah, because now when a person is talking, it disturbs melody. Yeah, she did send a written location apology that she will join us later. Oh, I think I'm Spalele Bexane, which will join her later. Oh, again. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought they are in the location. For me, 10. Again, morning, DM executive chair, CEO, and officials from the department. We are welcome. Mm-hmm. I told you, black club. Yeah? Yeah, Mola. What do I get? She's up. I don't want you to collapse. I want you, and also I don't want you to sleep. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. We can start. Yeah, welcome. Over to you, DM. Thank you very much for coming. We did receive the apology, Minister. That she will join us late, but also we note what you are saying, that she's still where she is. She'll join us late. It's fine.
Yeah, mine is that one. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and the officials. We have one official, one in charge of the policy, the youth division in the department, and of course the Chairperson of NYDA, the CEO, and other members. So, as the chair has said, honourable members, the minister is not well. She has gone through a clinic. She has just sent a person to say she's delaying. So she has thought she will join the committee later. So, honourable chairperson, I'm just gonna reflect a few points which I thought they are important today. We have also the advisor from the ministry here. We are working on updating a shareholder compact between the department and the NYDA. It will stipulate the roles and responsibilities of the NYDA and department, and also in adhering to applicable legislation such as PFMA Act and the NYD Act. So this
we felt as a department it's important to raise it, given the discussions we've had, that we're a transitional executive authority. They've been operating on the act which gave them access directly to the president. That was the agreement then. And so now, as a line function ministry, since we're installed by the president, we're still working on the transitional arrangement. Honorable members, we will agree that the minister are committed that we will be putting forward the process of coming up with the legislation as soon as possible on this matter. In this regard, the department accounts to Parliament on the performance and financial information, and Parliament in turn accounts to electorate. So that's what we want to be clarified through the rule of law. Another point which honorable members, chairperson, I thought is important to flag before they present is that is the briefing that the minister made, gave the committee, that the NYDA has already briefed the Auditor General about the board not correcting and how they are operating. We still feel that it's important to give this assurance to the committee that the difficulties we on the government side have had in getting Treasury to appoint an entity as an interim accounting authority while there's a process of putting a board in place. We commend the initiative of the NYDA that on their own they felt they have to get guidance from the Auditor General, or to make the Auditor General aware and guide them from their experience as to what will be acceptable and what will not be acceptable. Of course, with regard to the board, we are still waiting for the response from the National Treasury on appointment of this entity that we are talking about as the accounting authority, basing it on Section 49, Subsection 3 of the PFMA Act. I think last, when we came here, we had a lengthy discussion on the to and fro with Treasury in terms of saying it's their responsibility to appoint this interim structure. And initially, they will then come back and say, oh yeah, but the request is not clear enough. Then we will go back with a clarified document. Still, we haven't received a formal response. But as I've said, the entity has taken an initiative of bringing on board the Auditor General to say this is how they are operating. There is another point which we wanted to talk to, that the NYDA amended its APP after being requested to do so by the Portfolio Committee. This resulted in addition of targets relating to finance, supply chain management, and human resource. The APP of the NYDA for the 2020-21 financial year will still have to be amended to be in line with the performance agreement which the minister has signed, and the president is in the process of finalizing that. So we don't expect major disruptions, but the agreed upon performance areas between the two offices will be in line, but it might affect the articulation of APPs. So the committee will be briefed as soon as we have the one which has been finally signed off by the president. So I thought, Chairperson, honourable members, I should just flag those few points before the entity presents. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM. If you remember, in our last week meeting, we agreed that today other issues of youth, we'll raise them in this meeting because it was due to time constraints. So those issues we're still going to raise.
Okay.
Yeah. Over to you, Executive Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members, the Deputy Minister in the Department, our colleagues that are here. Probably as a start, Chair, to introduce the team that is here, we've got the Chief Executive Officer of the NYDA, Mr. Wasim Karim. We've got the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Tami Mkwanazi. We also have the Company Secretary at the level of the board, Mr. Darcy. Of course, with our colleagues from the department that the Minister would have introduced. Thank you very much, Chair, for giving us this opportunity once.
Where are the members of the board?
Yes, I was going to get the chair. The two others, one at academic engagements, the other board member serves on a board of AXA, and therefore they've got their own session today, so they have extended an apology to us. So if the committee can then note that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair. On a lighter note, that means they don't prioritize us. They don't prioritize NYDA.
Well, I would think an academic challenge such as an exam or a test would be an excusable thing. The one of the another board, I'm not too sure. I'll leave it to.
Will you have to check whether they have reapplied?
Well,
that was only the
light. It's a light check. We do accept that.
That's a serious one.
But I think I must mention that all of us, in fact, continue to be committed to the cause of youth development, and we still have 100% commitment from everybody. Chair, we obviously meet here today with Parliament itself having commemorated 30 years since the release of President Nelson Mandela, and with our country reaching 26 years of our freedom and democracy. We thought we should start this briefing in quoting our international icon, who had said at the time of his release that, and I quote, "We must use time wisely and forever realize that time is always ripe to do right. If I had my time, I would do the same again. So would any man who dares to call himself."
I'm sorry, Executive Chair. You know, honorable members, I'm just digesting what I was saying to the Executive Chair now with regards to the board members who are not present today. I wanted to hold my horses, but I feel strong that no. You know, I take NYDA very seriously, especially because as a country, our youth is facing many challenges. For them not being present in this critical meeting, and we have so many challenges, to me and to South Africans and to the youth of South Africa, it doesn't gel well and it doesn't look good. And for me, it's not acceptable. I initially wanted to accept those apologies, but I'm reviewing my decision that I feel that I don't want to accept those apologies. I don't know what about you, honorable members. Because first of all, most of the time, your board members, you are not correcting
And I've never seen them in the meetings, unless in one meeting where I was not here. It was once when they attended. And I take it that in today's meeting, they should have done something. Let me get comments first. Sorry, Executive Chair. Honorable Mpiti and Honorable Masiko.
Chair, I would like to agree with you, because I think, you know, what's alarming to me about this particular situation is, not so long ago, I think it was just last week when Statista released the statistics of youth unemployment in particular. And out of that report that they released, they noted something that was very, very concerning. That young people between the ages of 24 to 35 are twice more unemployed than those between the ages of 35 to 45. So I think really it's unacceptable at this stage where we're facing a crisis as young people in this country that, you know, the board members are not here. I would have then appreciated then to say that we are unable to come to the committee because our team is not here. That is the most reasonable explanation if everybody had a commitment prior to this meeting. But I honestly think it's unacceptable, particularly because everyone's eyes, young people's eyes, are on the NYDA. And now we're going through a process of selecting a new board. What type of example is that board going to be receiving from this current board if the members are not even able to come and account? And I really attend to the issues that young people are facing. I really question how these 3 million plus young people would feel today if they were sitting in this room to note that none of the board members, with the exception of one, is here. And yet, this is the institution that is saying they're fighting for young people and the opportunities of young people. So I really say it's unacceptable. And I think the chairperson of the board needs to be the responsible person to really call out those board members, because he is the chairperson. Because this behavior is not acceptable. I think it's disrespectful to the committee, disrespectful for all of us who've made our time to be here, who've woken up early to take morning flights, and then, you know, who do we hold accountable at this stage when people don't think it's important to be in this meeting? So thank you, Chair, for raising that. I'm very concerned by it myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think really one must convey the disappointment. I don't know how to put it in a nice way, but nonetheless, one is actually left wondering, Chairperson, Executive Chair, on the level of commitment shown not only to this portfolio committee but to the work and the service of the NYDA. I'm just left wondering whether they even attend meetings of the actual executive that is called by the NYDA. Chairperson, in the one meeting that you were not present in, one did come, which was for the first time, but the other was not present. And we've never ever seen that other member, the board member, as this portfolio committee. So it's quite disappointing, Chairperson, and I think it's valid for us as a committee not to accept those apologies, because we all know, and I think we did also highlight to the CEO when he was here in the last meeting that he was sent back in, that we need, as this committee, to be respected. One, two, the apologies must be forwarded in writing. So I'm not sure whether those apologies of the board members were sent to this committee in writing as a sign of respect, but just common courtesy. Everybody knows that when you are not attending the meeting, you send the apology in writing. So I've not had any apologies tendered on our side as this committee, but also only through the chairperson. So we do request, Minister,
for the message to be passed on to those board members that, as Honourable Mpithi has said, young people out there deserve better. We know that we started the process of the appointment of the next board, and we are hearing the sounds of young people roaring out there, looking forward to a board that represents them well. So currently what we are seeing here are members that are really maybe tired because they are approaching the end of the term, but that is not what is expected, because everyone is expected to finish the race that they started. So we do think that young people deserve better, and that must be shown by an active and a strong will board, even though there's three that is left, but we still expect them to do more, and we still expect them to serve the young people of South Africa that are expecting a true representation according to their appointment by this parliament. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable.